On Love Songs, you know that we like to talk to people that are making a difference in their communities, people that are using their influence, their privilege, and their power to uplift the people around them. And one of these people is a woman who I'm really, really excited to talk to. She has a varied history, and she is making such a massive difference with regards to COVID-19. But before we get into that, I want to introduce you to Jo Watts. She's from Talent Brand, and she is definitely someone that we are going to be celebrating for a long time. Hi, Jo.
Hello, Danny. Thank you so much for the
Okay, so before we talk about your initiative, Real Heroes Connect, I want to talk to you a little bit about you as a person. Where are you from? What do you do? And what brought you into this kind of world?
Sure. So, Danny, I'm a dyed-in-the-wool Joburger. I actually came from Melville, grew up in Melville, and then later on the West Rand. But I suppose if I had to describe myself, I'm a very, very happily married woman of 27 years this year. I've got two incredible kids, but I'm also an entrepreneur and a businesswoman. And I've had my company, Talent Brand, sure, for 23 years. When I was 29, I just decided that there was a better way of giving back in the world. And I started a business which is very focused around talent acquisition, and which means a lot of other people would know it as recruitment. And I'm now at the age of 52 and been in the world of recruiting for many, many years. And I've reached a point where, you suddenly ask yourself, you've learned so much, you've gained so much. I mean, I think what makes me a little bit different is my husband and I have never had traditional roles as a relationship. My husband was the stay-at-home dad, and he's been doing that since 2003. And I've been looking after this business for a good 23 years now. And it's an interesting journey, and there's so much that I've learned. And I think one of the things I know is when I started my business, it was really about failures, not an option. I didn't have a safety net. Some people will go out and start a business and say, well, okay, if it doesn't work this month, I don't have to worry because I've got someone who is making and or earning another income to fall back on. We never had that. But it's been the most remarkable journey because when you start to realize that the buck stops with you, and you're the one that's ultimately accountable for putting food on the table, paying the bills, educating your kids, etc., you can discover what incredible talents and potential you really have. So I've never ever regretted this journey. But and we've always worked very differently. So I employ primarily women in my business. And for the last 7 to 8 years, we've actually adopted remote working as part of our philosophy and our value set. I've always believed that whether it's in business or whether you, the people I employ, I talk about the whole person. So people who work for me are not just the sum total of a contractual relationship of what can you do for me and in return I'll pay you a salary. I believe that we're whole beings, and especially women, we fulfill so many different roles. And I've always felt it's really important that women are able to thrive whilst working for me. And that means you're able to be a mom on your own terms. You can earn a decent income and contribute to the economy constructively. You can love and enjoy the work that you do. And those are things that have sat very closely to my heart. And I've always had a business that's been about that. And the other thing as well is I don't believe we're designed to be productive from 8 o'clock to 5 o'clock every day. Get up in the morning and now just deliver of your best. I think that we are creative souls, and we are able to function differently. I mean, one of my employees is an absolute night owl. I'm a morning person. Another one really thrives in the middle of the day. So I don't dictate my team's working hours either. So I think it was interesting when COVID-19 came along, because dealing with a lot of executives that I regard as really good friends as well, they were just talking about the absolute challenge to transition to remote working and managing remote teams, and how they were trying to shift and adapt to away from a command and control type leadership culture into one where you're saying, well, I really have to put trust first and be vulnerable and know that the people in my team are going to deliver what they need to do despite what's going on around them.
Yeah.
And interestingly, for my business, it was business as usual. And the team continued to thrive and do what it needed to do no matter what. But the interesting thing with talent acquisition and recruitment, and if you look at the stats now, you're talking 60% closure of recruitment companies since COVID-19 hit. Yeah. Because obviously with the significant reductions in revenue, et cetera, there's no money to recruit, and there's a freeze. And in some instances, people are being retrenched, and in others, some are being put on special time where they've given a leave of absence or paid less. And it's been an incredibly challenging time. And when COVID came along in March, I was, okay, what are we going to do? How do I continue to protect my employees and my family? And I have an extended family, because I have, for example, my domestic Regina, who's been with me for 28 years. She has an extended family of about 10 people that she takes care of. Sitting back and I was going, well, I'm not going to give up. What are we going to do? And in amongst all of this, I network, obviously, with a lot of people, and I build incredible relationships with really interesting people, and I'm very privileged to be able to do that. And I had a remarkable friend in my network who, she's a qualified CA. She grew up in Soweto. She certainly didn't have any handouts, and she is passionate about women like I am. How do you empower women?
Yeah.
And we sat having lunch the one day 4 years ago. She was talking about how she's starting this African women's movement, about really how women need to take responsibility for their own lives, and to address some of the tough issues that are out there, where it's about pro-women but not anti-men, and it's about how women need to step into their space. And we've stayed close for a good 4 years, and she is involved in a number of different projects. And, I was sharing with her the worry that I have about the finances and how is this business going to survive, how are we going to reinvent ourselves, etc. And she gave me a call one day and she said, you know what, Jo? She says, I want to tell you that the health sector is giving discretionary grants to any companies who can come up with solutions on how to flatten the curve.
Hmm.
And she said, with your network in FMCG, because that's where I focus mostly, so surely there's something you can do, something you can invent or come up with. And I, my first instinct was, I said, I don't have a clue around training and education. You know that my expertise sits in talent acquisition. But she said to me, Jo, food security, FMCG, just give it some thought. So I said, okay. And she said, see if you can come up with something. So I said, all right, I'll give it some thought. And the lovely wonders of menopause is that you don't get to sleep much. So I have insomnia, which I've now learned to welcome. So 2 o'clock in the morning is typically my wake up call. And I kind of embrace it because it's quiet time. I'm not being asked a million one things, and I can really just clear my mind, and think about whatever needs to be thought about, needs to be solved. And I find I'm incredibly creative at that time. Anyway, so I'm lying in bed and I'm going, okay, here comes COVID-19. What can I do? How can I make an impact? How do I protect and look after my business, but potentially make an impact? And I shot up in bed because I went, hang on a minute. My son-in-law and his partner are software developers and animators. And I still can't tell you how on earth that idea popped into my head, but it did. So first thing in the morning, I gave him a call and I said, Kutsia, I have this opportunity. What do you think of animation videos to try and educate people? Because the biggest thing that sat in my mind with COVID-19 and when talking to all my clients is the massive challenge they now had to communicate with employees in an environment where you no longer could put everyone in a canteen, you couldn't put them in the training rooms and train them en masse. And they had this enormous responsibility to share information, but at a rate that they had never experienced before. And with FMCG, you know, it's the heart of South Africa. FMCG is where our food is made and produced. It's how we make sure that constitutionally everyone has a right to food. And, you know, they're not the fancy suit guys. You know, these are the guys that are standing in production lines, sometimes out in the freezing cold, sometimes in very sophisticated environments. But really, their investment of their money goes into those production lines and making sure that they're operating 24/7. And interestingly, FMCG is not that digitally advanced in comparison to for the likes of a financial services, for example. So they were also facing very real challenges of how do they make sure that the employees are protected as effectively as possible. So essential workers at that time, it was just the kickoff of COVID-19. We'd got into lockdown 5. And essential workers were the only ones that are really going to be working. And how do you protect that? And we sat back and gave it some thought. And the one thing I'm incredibly blessed with, and I've realized, Danny, is the power of your own network. And I think, you know, that's a story that I really want to share because, you know, we always think about networks in the context of how does it serve me? And networking is really about a reciprocal relationship. And when I sat back and I realized the impact I could have really, really quickly, I realized the gold that I had of how I could make this difference because I have the privilege to be connected with a phone call to probably every marketing director, every corporate affairs director, and many, many CEOs and MDs in FMCG because of the kind of work that I do. So first things first, we came up with this kind of concept. Initially, it was going to be just 5 videos. It was going to be in English because animation typically can transcend a lot of language barriers because it's animated.
Yeah.
And through those connections, so I started phoning some of the people that are really close to my network and I said, listen, guys, this is the news. Talent acquisition is taking a back seat and we're going into animation videos. And the whole idea was to get as many of my clients excited and participating in this initiative because how were we going to get it out there? I needed to rely on my clients. So if you think of someone like Tiger Brands, who I have a really good relationship with, you're talking 20,000 employees, 20,000 is a lot that you can get out to educate if you've got an effective medium.
Yeah.
But as we developed the videos, and I kind of went into this quite naively because, you know, when I put the proposal together, And I came up with a sense of what I thought we would be doing, you know, and I sent it off to the HWC to. And in 4 days, I was advised that we'd been given the grant. I nearly fell off my chair. I couldn't believe it. I thought, wow. And then I went, holy crap, sorry. Now I actually have to really do something. So now I've got to put my money where my mouth is. Anyway, so the kind of person I am is I love a challenge. And I love, especially when you're doing some good and you can come up with some great ideas. But the success of this campaign, which I must tell you is going viral in a way that we couldn't even possibly imagine, but the success was the people I could bring in on this project. You know, it's like I said to everyone, I said, guys, you know, if there's one thing I have to tell you, I'm not the expert. I'm going to be your conductor and you're going to be my orchestra. I said, and each one of you is going to have a specialization. You're going to be the violinist. The other one will be the drummer. The other one, the guitarist. But you're the experts. I'm just the one that's going to help you make the music. And that was the way that I described it. But if I can honestly say to you that through divine intervention, through the universe, and I still sit back and I marvel at it because I've run a lot of projects and some of those projects have been plain sailing. Others have been an absolute nightmare. If I think from day one of the people that we pulled into this project, how skilled they were, but most importantly, how each one of them was so deeply invested in making this a success. And I could never have achieved this without this team, and one of which being Marie, who also came via another network. And it's been incredible. So, you know, it's come about, and I've sat back with this grant money, realizing this wasn't my money. This is South Africa's money. So I had to make damn sure that I was using it so responsibly and so carefully, and using it on the right things at the right time.
Yeah.
And when I look at what we've produced now, so it landed up 5 videos translating into 9. And those 9 videos we then created in 4 different languages. Because when I, for example, chatted to Bridget Backman at Distel, she said to me, Jo, you can't do English. She says, my entire workforce is Afrikaans speaking in the Western Cape. That's who they are. So I said, okay, well, if we're going to do Afrikaans, then we definitely can't ignore an African language. And then based on sort of checking in with comms people and people that I know in that environment, they said to me, Setswana and isiZulu. So what turned out to be 5 English videos landed up being 9 videos in 4 different languages. So what we had to animate was 36 videos.
Wow.
And on top of it, we still did that in the time frame that we had promised HWC to. So we kicked off in April. We went live with all those videos on the 28th of May. But in amongst all of this, you know, I'm thinking then naively, I've got my clients. They're going to help me get this out there. Then I pick up the phone and I talk to some really smart people like Gaynor Peretti, who's the MD at AVI. And she says to me, Jo, she says, you're never going to get this right if you don't do it mobile. She says, yeah. And then how are you going to do it mobile if you don't offer them some kind of airtime or data free or what have you? And I went, oh, okay, very good point. What are we going to do? She says, listen, I chatted to this very interesting lady 2 weeks ago, company called Mobitainment. And they have a whole model of how they get brands out into the townships using WhatsApp and video as a tool. So I said, sounds fantastic. I'm going to give her a call. Anyway, we get chatting. And that was where I discovered this whole world of interactive videos and gamification, which Mobitainment, and it's what they do. So we came up with a dual approach now. So we were saying, not only are we going to help our clients to get this message out there through traditional means, and traditional we mean things like posters that can stick up on walls, some decals that they can put up in their bathrooms, etc. You know, stickers that they could get people excited about. We actually then said, what's our mobile strategy? And that's where Mobitainment came in. And they took these animation videos, which were static, and then put them into a mobile interactive format where we actually use gamification and reward to encourage people to watch the videos. Because whenever we got together, we said, what's the objective? And I said to them, we initially said, well, there's 490,000 essential workers in South Africa. And I said, well, how about we stop lockdown in the world? Let's not think small. Let's just think about how we're going to do that, because we're educating everybody. So we got really, really excited. And about 2 weeks before we were going to launch the campaign, I was now starting to send out all the marketing material to all the different companies. And I kept getting kind of feedback of, so how are you doing this digitally? And they would start using these big fancy words, and I'm listening and I'm going, okay, I actually don't know what the heck they're talking about, but I think I better go and figure this out. So I sit there, and 2 o'clock in the morning comes again, and lo and behold, I sit there upright in bed and I go, oh boy, I don't have an integrated marketing strategy. Now what am I going to do? So if I looked at the two phases of the project, the phase one was this technical piece where we built the animation, built the mobile videos, etc. But we had to have a phase two, which was how are we going to get this out there? How are we going to get it out there? And that's when some really clever people came along my path, the likes of Marie, some really smart digital people. And we put together in 2 weeks a highly effective social media marketing campaign as well as a traditional campaign. And thank goodness for my son-in-law, who I think slept maybe 30 hours in a week after doing all the animation and that. We also developed a website, and we said, yeah, we go, and a brand ID, Real Heroes Connect. And why do we talk about real heroes? Because each and every one of us is a hero. We all have to get up every morning. We've got to thrive and survive. We've got to make things happen. We've got to take care of our families. And we've got to be out there doing what we can. And, you know, I just felt so warm and emotional. And because I sat back and I just thought, you know, how do you make a difference? And I think, you know, so often we think we've got to do these enormous big things to have an impact. And, you know, the one day Candy and I were chatting, and I said to Candy, I said, you know what? Even if we just do 1,000 people be. And I said, and those 1,000 will impact 1,000. Yeah. So I said, I'm okay with being a pebble in the ocean. I'm okay with that. And it was remarkable. And then while we went along, I kind of have adopted some women in my personal space that I spend a fair amount of time with. And one of those very interesting ladies, she actually landed up with a broken down car in my street the one day last year, just probably around November, I think, and when it was so boiling hot. Anyway, I arrived back home. I see this lady sitting on the grass and her car's broken down. It's very hot. So I walk up to her and I go, look, it's really not safe for you to be sitting on my pavement. Is someone coming to help you? How can we help you? Do you need a tow? What do you need? So she says to me, no, don't worry. There is someone coming to sort out the car. So I said to her, well, just come and sit inside my house because it's not safe for you. So she joined me in my kitchen, and I made her some lunch and got chatting, and her name is Roslyn. And Roslyn is a youngish black woman. She's about 38. She's got a daughter who's 18, lives in Florida. She has her BSc in environmental science, never been able to get a job. And we just started talking, and she just shared her life story. And it was a very, very painful one. A lot of heartache and a lot of pain. And she had decided, she landed up in some negative circumstances, and she thought, well, I still need to thrive and survive. And she became a take-a-lot delivery person. So her car was everything to her. Data was everything to her, and a cell phone was everything to her. And we just stayed connected and checked in on her quite regularly. We had a bit of a session where she'd landed up in some financial trouble, and I'd actually given her some very sort of specific things to help her. Gathered all the information because she was having problems with her bond and being able to keep it. And I really got to know her. And she's one of those stories of how we get up every day and life doesn't always work out the way it's supposed to. And you have to still make a plan. And you know, those are the women that just really sit so strongly in my life and in my heart. I didn't grow up great. It was a very, very, very tough childhood. But if it's one thing it did, is it taught me how to thrive and survive. And then I was incredibly blessed to have the skills and the capabilities that I do to run a thriving business for 23 years, albeit with lots of highs and lows, let me tell you. But coming back to Roslyn, so one of the things as I in this new campaign, I went, okay, I need some help. So I got hold of Roslyn and I said to her, look, I said, how about this? If you can share, do 100 shares for me with your cell phone, I'll give you 10 rand for every share. But you have to prove it. You've got to come back and show me that you've actually done those shares on WhatsApp with the campaign. She takes us on, says no problem. She comes back to me about 4 days later, but she's hitting my WhatsApps left, right, and center. But she's sending me 200 screenshots so she can prove to me that she shared it 200 times. And in between it, I'm going, I believe you, Rosalind. It's all good. Don't overload my phone. She says, no, you need to see this. You need to see this. And she sends me screenshots of the different people that she's engaged with on WhatsApp where she shared these videos. And you sit back and you look at it because it's a world of people that I don't know or live with, because the majority of them are living in townships, some very uneducated, others educated and have got data and what have you, but very mixed feedback, a lot of cynicism. Like she'd say, you know, you can win your share of 3,000 rands airtime a day. And they'd reply back going, you know, it's a scam. This is a ripoff.
Yeah.
And it was, you know, just quite interesting to step out of my own bubble and listen to what was really going on out there. And then coming back and going, okay, so what do we do now? But the awesome thing to just tell you about Rosalind was she obviously earned 2,000 rand. And I said to her, great, I'm going to send it to you now. And she says, do you know what I'm getting with the 2,000 rand? So I said, what? She says, I'm getting a new cell phone because then I can up my package and my app with Take-A-Lot and I can do more. And I said, fantastic. That's exactly where I want your money to go. So, you know, those were the good news stories.
Yeah.
So now we're sitting at 11,158 videos have been watched now in 22 days. We haven't even hit our 7-day target. And it's the bottom line is that you just never, ever can succeed unless you've got a really incredible team around you.
Yeah.
You know, and I often refer to them as my tribe. And it's just been the most remarkable, wonderful, transformative experience that I've had about how open and willing my clients were, because, you know, if you go and engage with clients around recruitment, recruitment is often like a grudge purchase, you know. A lot of clients see it as very, very expensive and not delivering a lot of value. And to go and build those relationships and then come back and say, listen, this is what I'm doing now. And how so many of them said, bring it on, Joe. We're going to do whatever it takes. We'll get this out there on any means possible. And the commitment that I got from people to make this happen, and how they embraced it. And, you know, it's just, it's been so heartwarming. And now we're sitting where we hopefully will get another grant, because we've now identified some really key sectors. One is education, teachers and children, that we could do animation videos for. We're looking at the informal sector, because that's largely been ignored right through COVID-19, because they don't have access to funds or anything to be able to do what they need to do. So we're looking at that. We're looking at targeting community radio in the rural communities. And this is stuff that I never even knew or understood or knew even existed outside of my world. And through it, my business has continued to be able to thrive. We've been able to really think about how do we transform the recruitment landscape, because I have a view, you know, Danny, I've always painfully emphasized with my clients that we are not a traditional recruitment agency, that we really are about adding long-term sustainable value to our clients.
I feel like you've been uplifting people, and especially women, for pretty much your whole life. And I need us to celebrate that, because I think a lot of women don't do that. And I feel like there is also this belief that women generally tend towards breaking each other down and cattiness and bitchiness. That's why those are female kind of terms. And you are definitely changing that for all of us. So firstly, I want to shout out to you for that, because through your example, I know that, like you said, it's a snowball effect, and snowball effects happen positively and negatively, and you're definitely doing a positive one. But then also, I think we can take a lot from the lessons that you've learned through this experience, that you had this business that could have failed during lockdown, because so many have. But because you were thinking out of the box to not line your own pocket, to give back to other people, you inadvertently saved your own business. And I think that's a beautiful thing as well, because I think so often we get so caught up in worrying. But when we look at the bigger picture and we start helping, your brain is firing in different ways. So you're very, very likely to find something new and a new way, and you're going to look at things from a different perspective. So I really hope that someone gets that from this conversation as well. But then I want to just go back to Real Heroes. If we wanted to go and watch the videos, if we wanted to get our staff to watch the videos, what is the cost involved? How do we access the platform?
Okay. There's absolutely no cost at all, Danny. Oh. You know, this is, no, not at all. There's no cost. I mean, this is a grant from the HW CETA, and this is really about educating as many people as possible. So we don't believe in creating any barriers to getting this message out there. And we've designed it in such a way that it will make, whether you are a small, medium-sized enterprise who just wants to educate your cleaner or your domestic, or you want to have your gardener exposed to it, right up to being a massive organization, we've designed it in such a way that it is virtually click, download, and you can make it happen in your company. So you go to www.realheroesconnect.com, and on that website is all the information and all the tools you will need to be able to deploy it into your organization in the traditional way. And then you have a YouTube channel Real Heroes Connect. You also can then SMS HERO or your company name to 30864, and that will take you on the whole mobile interactive journey where you can share, click, watch, answer the questions, and through that you will actually have your opportunity to earn your share of airtime. And I can tell you that in 25 days, which the campaign has been running now, we have had 577 winners of airtime already.
Oh, wow. Wow. Okay. So it's not, it's what was the message, that one screenshot that was sent? What did that person say? That is a scam.
Oh, this is not a scam. It's not a scam. It's definitely not a scam. Shortly, we're actually going to be adding into the rewards. We're going to have the top people in the leaderboard. So the top 10 people who shared the most, watched the most, answered the questions the most, etc. They're also going to be earning rewards as well, over and above the airtime that we give. We're actually going to apportion some to people who have really demonstrated the behavior that we're looking for. It's an incredibly powerful tool, gamification and reward. And what we've really found so valuable is the fact that we can now track questions that have been answered, where people know the least and where they're most educated on it. And we're going to be coming out with some really interesting stories that the data are going to be showing us around the 10th of July, because we would have worked with a full month of data, and we're going to be able to use that to really give people insight into how people are behaving towards this virus and what they know and understand about it, et cetera. So we're hoping to take it a lot further than just watch the video and get educated.
I love this initiative, and I love you. And I really, really hope that we can get more people knowledgeable about this, because there is a lot of fear and a lot of anxiety around it. And I feel, especially with the medium like animation, it's almost calming, you know, because it simplifies it, and it's simple and it's easy, and it's reassuring in a way, because we all grew up with animation. So it kind of takes you back to that simplified, it's okay, don't panic, but X, Y, and Z, this is what you do, this is how you take care of it.
You know, Danny, there were two incidences that stand out very strongly in my mind. I've referred to my domestic who's been with me for 27 years. Her name's Rahina. And Rahina is actually illiterate. I mean, she never had the opportunity to go to school and be educated, but she's still one of the smartest women I know. And, you know, when initially COVID started, she was saying to me, what is this thing? Help me understand it, etc. And when we developed the videos and we'd done it in her language, I showed it to her in English. And watching her look at the video, especially where we show how the virus grows in your lungs, you could see the light go on, going, oh, this is dangerous. So I said, yes, it's dangerous, very dangerous. And the other was, one of my clients sent me a clip of her 4-year-old and her 2-year-old daughters watching it, and they were completely engrossed in it. And that was when I went, oh my word, we didn't just do this for essential workers. This is for everybody, everybody. And, you know, I just realized the magnitude of what we were able to achieve and we're going to achieve no matter what. And, you know, I'm sitting with, we had a meeting this morning, and we're sitting with some budget concerns around some of the aspects. And we were all talking about, well, where can we cut and what can we do? And I said to them, guys, you're not thinking the right way. We need to talk about where we're going to get more money to keep this alive. Mm. Not cut it, not shorten it.
One more question before I let you go, Joe, and carry on doing the good that you're doing. For especially a woman listening, whatever it is that she does, whether she works for herself, whether she works for someone else, what message do you have for that working woman that maybe isn't in the space that she really dreams of being in?
Okay, this is going to sound cliche, but I'm going to say it anyway because it's my lesson every day. All you have to fear is fear itself. even if you're scared, even if you don't know, even if you think you're going to fail, just do it anyway. Don't hesitate.
I love that. Simple and to the point, but very, very true. Because I think we get wrapped up in our own anxieties and we cripple ourselves.
Correct. We do. Your mind is such a dangerous thing. You know, I always used to say to my kids, there's a gate, in the front of your head, and you can put your hand in. You choose what goes in and you choose what to let out. You're completely in control of what you're capable of achieving. You just have to believe it.
You are the best mom to all of us, Joe. One more time. where do we go to access the videos, and where do we go so we can share and all of that?
Okay. So there's two ways. One is SMS HERO to 30864. And then you will begin the journey, and literally it'll take you on the journey. And that's where you can earn your rewards and click and share. The other is go to www.realheroesconnect.com, and you can view all the videos there as well. And you also have the YouTube channel, realheroesconnect.com, that you can get to as well.
Joe, thank you so much for your time, and good luck. I only see this getting bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger.
We're going to stop lockdown.
Please.
For the right reasons.
We need you to stop lockdown.
Please, absolutely. But Danny, thank you. I really appreciate the time. Thank you so much for listening to my story.